This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
Yes, it's time for another hospice show once again, and we've got finally back with us in the studio, Marianne Tasker. Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
Lovely to have you back in the studio, and we have a very special guest. I hope I pronounce your name correctly, Ad. It's Ad van Heersveg.
That's fully correct, yes.
Thank goodness. Now, you're originally from the Netherlands, but you've been over here in the UK for a very long time. And I think you were a psychiatrist, weren't you, with the NHS?
Clinical psychologist.
Clinical psychologist. You
yes.
see, I never get the difference between psychologist and psychiatrist. Could
a psychiatrist
you explain what
is
that
a doctor.
Is? Right.
A medical doctor.
And a psychologist.
And a psychologist, very officially, is someone, let's say, who has quite extensively studied human behaviour in
right.
all its manifestations.
Okay, fine. So, you were a psychologist then.
I was.
Studying
yes.
human behaviour in all of its manifestations within the NHS, which I imagine is some job. You're retired now. Mm-hmm. And somehow somebody has twisted your arm, haven't they, and said, why don't you go and do this kind of thing at the hospice?
Indeed, yes. When my fellow psychologists in the NHS heard that I was looking for something to do after my retirement,
yeah.
Something voluntary, Dr. Jane Hazeldine, who is the chief psychologist in the hospice, said, oh, why don't you come to us?
That's nice. But how did you come to the Isle of Wight in the first place?
That was a question of having survived my midlife crisis.
Right.
And thinking, actually, after 18 years in a large mental hospital in
yeah.
Maastricht in the Netherlands, also
yeah.
as
wow.
a clinical psychologist,
yeah.
I want something different. Mm. And after some to-ing and fro-ing and looking here and there, there was a job on the Isle of Wight.
Wow. So, and is it very, very different to the Netherlands here, do you think?
It is different in so far as the Netherlands has an insurance-based healthcare system,
right.
while this country, of course, has
yeah.
its National Health Service.
Yeah.
But for the rest, especially in psychiatry,
yeah.
which is where I've worked for 40 years before retiring, I think basically it's all quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
There are many more similarities between Britain and the Netherlands than differences.
And what about end-of-life care? Because, obviously we've got the hospice movement,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful, and we're so lucky to have the Earl Mountbatten Hospice here on the Isle of Wight.
Mm-hmm.
But, one thing that always surprises us, and we'll talk about this later in the show, is the fact that so little of it is funded by the government,
mm-hmm.
and that the hospices have to really sort of fend for themselves and do a lot of sponsorship and charity work to
mm-hmm.
to actually get their revenue. Is it the same in the Netherlands?
It's the same in the Netherlands.
Gosh.
We do have quite a number of hospices in the country. I think over 100, but I read the number some time ago, but
yeah.
Unfortunately I've forgotten it, the exact number. Just like in this country, they are funded in part by the Department of Health, in part by the health insurance companies,
yeah.
if people do have, let's say, the right kind of cover for it.
Yeah.
And for the rest, indeed, it's fundraising, just like it is
right,
in this country.
Wow.
The main difference being that in this country, fortunately, most hospices indeed also do offer psychological services. And
yeah.
in Holland, they don't.
Ah, interesting, interesting. Well, let's take a break with a quick track, and then if we can come back and then ask you about the kind of services that you offer at the hospice.
Okay.
Because off air a second ago we were talking about those, and I think they sound absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So let's come back in just a few minutes. First is Roxy Music.
There's a new sensation, a fabulous creation.
Roxy Music and Brian Ferry. Now, one always gets the impression that he's rather depressed, and we were told the other day by somebody who tours with him that he is. But let's talk about depression. End-of-life treatment must be very, very difficult, not only for the patient who's in the hospice or being visited at home by people from the hospice, but for relatives as well. And, Ad, you are a psychologist, you're helping people at the hospice sort of
mm-hmm.
dealing with this sort of elephant in the room. How do you do that?
how do you do that? Unfortunately, there are no cookery book recipes for that kind of thing. You have very much to deal with a situation, let's say, as it develops itself while you're working with, talking with an individual patient or a couple or a family.
Yes. So, I mean, some people will have faith and sort of be strengthened by their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Some people presumably, you know, are atheists and don't believe in an afterlife. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you find that faith gives people a lot of strength, or
in general, it does actually. There is quite a lot of research evidence within, especially the specialism that we call the psychology of religion, that people who do have a faith, let's say, have an easier end-of-life stage.
Yes.
And at least when they're coached well, so to speak, can have a more peaceful death.
Right. Now, can I ask, you said a few minutes ago off-air that there are 8 people sort of dealing with psychological services at the hospice. How do you sort of divide yourselves up?
How do you mean?
Well, do you all deal with patients and their families, or do some of you deal with patients and some of you deal with families, or do some of you go travelling to people in their homes and stay at the hospice?
If necessary, we all do home visits, because of course there will always be patients who will be cared for at home, and if they need psychological support and they can't be transported to the hospice, then we do home visits.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just quite interested, Addy, in the relationship between the patients and their partners or family. So when you're giving your psychological services, are there some patients who want to talk to you by themselves, privately, away from their families, or do patients prefer, in your experience, to be with their families and they talk to you as a couple or as a group together?
That's that varies greatly.
Uh-huh.
What I always hope is that were applicable, if you want, that people indeed would want to speak together with their families. Because at the end of the day, when you're part of a family, especially when you're part of a close family, then dying, although of course dying is a very lonely thing in a way, but at the end of the day you don't die on your own. It's always something that has a heavy impact on the whole family.
Yes.
It has a heavy impact on a couple, it has an impact on a family, and even, let's say, on the extended family.
Yes, of course. I was just wondering whether there are some patients who perhaps feel they don't want to burden their families with their own feelings of upset and...
Sadly, that indeed happens quite often, that people say, yeah, I don't want to upset my husband, I don't want to upset my wife, I want to keep it in. Well, our idea is, please do upset them, almost. Because it's something that you should share.
Yes.
If I may very briefly share a personal experience.
Yeah.
One of my brothers died when he was in the end of his 40s. On the day of his death, we were all there. My siblings, my parents, of course his family, his in-laws. And although it was a bit of a chaotic day, but it was really actually a beautiful day, because we were all there and we could support each other.
Yes.
And from time to time, someone just sitting with my brother and holding his hand, or saying a few kind words, etc. And that's something that I would really like for all families.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that would be the ideal situation.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you, I understand, also chair a few of these death chats.
I do, yes.
Could you just tell us a little bit about what death chats are?
Death chats basically are have been started and all over the country, as far as I know, in order, let's say, to encourage people to break the taboo of talking about death. So it's not meant to be some kind of a therapy group or anything like that. It is just giving people the opportunity to debate with each other any kind of issue that can be death related, whether it is assisted dying, whether it is making a will, whether it is what do you want for your funeral.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that people might be interested in is an issue that can be discussed.
Yeah, and these are regular, aren't they, Marianne? I think
weekly,
are they on
yes.
every week
yeah.
at the moment?
Yeah.
Okay. Could I just finally ask you, please, Ad, how do people get hold of your services? I mean, do they have to have does somebody have to be treated by the hospice, or, you know, like with the bereavement services, can anyone who's affected by these issues sort of call in and ask for your support?
People can self-refer, as we call it, so simply phone the psychology service and say, well, either I've got a terminal diagnosis I need someone
yeah.
to talk to, or one of my loved ones has died and I really am struggling to
yeah.
cope with my bereavement. Can I please talk to someone? People will be referred by their GP. People can be referred by the medical or nursing staff within the hospice. People can be referred by any other kind of service. So we're very broad in that respect.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, it's an incredible service that you're providing. So, you know, thank you for doing that. I guess on behalf of the whole of the community, it's another example of how amazing the hospice is and how we should support them as much as possible through.
But don't forget, James, it's also something that is extremely meaningful and extremely rewarding for at
yes.
least for someone like myself
yeah.
to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Well, look, thank you very much, and you know, when we're doing things like Walk the White, I think it's our responsibility to dig into our pockets as deeply as possible to support our wonderful hospice. We're going to be back after the adverts.
This is Vectis Radio,
putting the community back into local radio.
That's Haim, or Haim, or Haim. How do you pronounce it, Chip?
Haim, or whatever.
Haim, yeah, okay. Well, that's The Wire, and yeah, nice track there. I think, though, that it's not going to be as nice as something you're going to hear tonight at the hospice, because, Marianne, you've been telling us that the choir is going from strength to strength, isn't it?
It is, even though we only started the choir, I think, about 5 weeks ago, and the first week we had 60 people come along.
Yeah.
It's just grown bigger and bigger and bigger, and every week we've had around that sort of number coming.
Yeah.
So they now have a concert this evening that starts at 7 o'clock.
They don't hang around, do they?
They don't hang around. Canapés and wine.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Wonderful singing. Come along. Everyone welcome.
Yeah, canapés and wine. That's
and
they're
canapés.
Very, very good canapés from your chef, whose name I never remember.
Gary.
Trevor. Your
Gary.
Chef. Why do I never remember his name? It's bizarre, isn't
you
it?
You remember his food, though.
I've got a video to show you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, what, have you scoffing all the canapés?
No, it's a video of someone shouting out Gary.
Oh, right.
It's on Facebook. I sent it to my Uncle Gary.
Oh, right. Now, tell me, what are they going to be singing, Marianne?
Oh, do you know what? I knew you were going to ask that, and I can't remember, but it's a mixture of different songs.
Yeah,
I know there is a Caribbean song that they're singing, and some favourites.
Oh, something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
That sounds absolutely perfect. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, because you are doing something called Ceramic Sundays.
Ceramic Sunday, that has generally, it's been running for some time now. It's usually on the fourth Sunday of a month.
Right.
It's been run up till now by Kate, who's the artist at the hospice.
Yeah.
But this Sunday, on Mothering Sunday, the 26th of March, I'm running it.
Yeah.
From 10:30 till 2. Come and paint a ceramic.
Right. Now, do you have ready-made ceramics,
I've got ready-made ceramics, and basically we're inviting people to come in and paint them with glaze.
Yeah.
For a small charge of a ceramic. So I've got mugs, I've got money boxes, a whole mixture of different ceramics, pre-made. Paint them, leave them there for a week. I'll put them in the kiln and fire them, and then you can pick them up the following
week.
You've
got your own kiln.
We've got our own kiln.
You've got your own kiln at the hospice.
I have.
This is extraordinary.
Do you know, Marianne, she is so multi-talented, isn't she? Well, you know, she talks about the photography she's doing, the textiles. Now it's ceramics and a kiln and firing the ceramics.
Well, don't tell Chip
amazing.
That you've got a kiln, else he'll put
amazing.
His own sort of Whistler burger in it, won't he?
Yeah.
So people could come in, Marianne, and make a present for their mums?
They could do, the only thing is, because it needs to be fired, it'll be a week before they can collect them.
But something they could perhaps
come in with their mums and do.
Well, that would be lovely, and it would be lovely to have families come in and do painting together. That would be super.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
And Chip, of course,
how about that? It's Mother's Day coming up.
Yeah.
You could make something specially for Mother's Day, couldn't you?
I'll go up there and make something for my mum.
Yeah.
Come up, Chip, and then after you've painted ceramic, come for Sunday lunch.
Of course. Those famous Sunday lunches.
And good.
Have people fully booked for Sunday lunch for Mother's Day?
It's not fully booked so far, so it's still.
Chip. Oh, yeah.
Come on. Look, we're handing you Mother's Day ideas on a plate, mate.
I'm definitely going to come on.
It all sounds fantastic. Now, Chip has also been busy, haven't you? You've been interviewing a guy called John.
Yes, I have.
Who's a patient. Should we listen to that?
Yeah.
And I believe we've got a little queen afterwards. So stick with us. The Hospice Show continues after Chip's interview and something from Queen.
Hi, it's Chip here, and I am with John. How are you doing, John?
Not too bad.
So, it's your first time at the John Cheverton Centre.
Yeah, so I'm told about by the nurse that visits me, and she brought me along here last Friday to have a look round, and I thought I'd come here this Tuesday to have a go at some art in this centre.
So, what do you think about the John Cheverton Centre?
I was quite impressed with everything they've got here, and it's quite spacious with a lot of amenities. I'm hoping to get involved a bit more.
What activities would you like to get involved with?
It's mainly the art room, doing some art, which I'm quite fond of, and later on I might explore other activities.
There's a lovely cafe. Have you been in the cafe yet?
Yes, this morning I went in, had a cup of coffee, met some ladies, and had a few talked a lot in there. So it's,
what would you say to those people who haven't been up here yet?
Well, come along and have a look around, and you'll be quite impressed, which I was.
Thank you for letting me interview you, John.
That's no problem, that's fine.
So what song would you like me to play on the radio for you?
Oh yes, Queen, Those Were the Days of My Life.
Okay, here's a bit of Queen.
Well, that was a bit of a surprise track here. I had my arm twisted by Chip to put that one in. It was Armin van Buuren, and This Is What It Feels Like. And if you've ever had your arm twisted by Chip, you'll know that you do what he says, because he's quite a strong lad, actually. Now, the reason we had that on was Ad van Hisvich, who's with us at the moment, is originally Dutch. Chip still thought it was still Dutch. Yes, okay. Chip thought it would be an absolutely fantastic idea to teach him all about Holland's greatest export product, which is not tulips or dairy products or even Stroopwafeln. It is Armin van Buuren, isn't it, Chip?
Yeah. Yes, it is. He does a radio show called The State of Trance. Yeah. And it's broadcast live on YouTube.
Well, I just hope that Ad will still want to come back and see us.
Yeah, exactly. Ad, what did you think of that song?
It sounded very cheerful, but I, to my embarrassment, I have to say indeed that although I knew the name Armin van Buuren, I had never heard anything about
him. Surprises happen every day here at Vectis
Absolutely.
Radio. Now, are you going back to the hospice now to sort of see some patients? Or
No. Wednesday is one of my days off.
Okay, so you're working sort of half a week effectively.
Effectively Monday, Tuesday and Thursday I'll be at the hospice.
Okay, and when you're at the hospice, is it in the John Cheverton Centre or
Most of my work indeed is in the John Cheverton Centre, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, one thing that I'd just like to pick up on is that earlier you said a lot of people, you know, think, oh my goodness, I don't really want to see somebody at the hospice. And yet the John Cheverton Centre is one of the most delightful places on the island, actually, to meet people.
It's true, yes.
I mean, we were talking about the cafe there earlier. I mean, if anyone at home is listening and thinking, you know, I would like to speak to you, but I wouldn't like to go to the John Cheverton Centre. I think, you know, we'd like to dispel that rumour mm-hmm. because it's a very light, clean, airy place. Lots of very friendly people there.
A really cheerful atmosphere as
it
well.
It is, yes.
And mm-hmm. lots of things happening. There's Marion with her arts and crafts and mm-hmm. the choir on Wednesday evenings.
Yeah, exactly.
It really has the most wonderful atmosphere, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. But you're obviously available for home visits as well.
Yes. We try, let's say, not to put all the home visits, let's say, to one person, because, of course, it takes time. Yeah. You have to travel over the island, etc., etc. So we spend our time best, of course, when we can do things in the John Cheverton Centre. But like I said before, when people are ill and being cared for at home,
yeah.
can't be transported for all kinds of reasons to the Cheverton Centre, then yes, we do home visits.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, thank you again for coming in, Ad. It's been absolutely marvellous having you here today.
It was a pleasure.
And a wonderful service that you're providing to the hospice. Hopefully you can come back again in the future.
Oh, most certainly.
And tell us
like
a little
to.
Bit more about that. We'll try to play some more refined Dutch music next
yeah.
time. We'll probably have the Concertgebouw or something like that.
Perhaps we'll add you something next time, Chip.
Yeah, yeah, quite right. Anyway, that's it from us on the Hospice Show. We're back in a fortnight, and we've really enjoyed your company. So
thank you.
We'll be back with you shortly. Thank you.
Thanks.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
www.vectisradio.com